Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Y'all may be seated for just a second. Welcome to church this morning and welcome to worship more appropriately. And we're just glad that you are here. It is Senior Sunday, and so we'll be recognizing our seniors from high school at the end of the service today, and we're glad to do that. And so a friend of mine in the back just said, wouldn't that be a great 80s hair band song for all of us that grew up in the 80s? I can't believe y'all would. I mean, that'd be a great hair band song. Well, I'm the only one that thinks that's funny. So it's me and Jeffers. We're the only ones. So as we think about today, we're going to continue in our series called What's Next? And today is about reviving what feels, maybe not reality, but feels dead and gone in our lives. It might be a vision, it might be a dream, just might be whatever it is going on in your life. And we're going to talk about how through God and through our relationship with Him, we're going to see if that can live again. And so just be thinking about that in your head. What do you want to submit to God for Him to revive in your life, to glorify Jesus? So let's just pray. Lord God, I want to just open my life up to You, Lord. And I hope that everyone in this room would do it too. It's hard. Sometimes we don't want to give what we want to control. Father, sometimes we don't know how to let go. And sometimes we don't even know where we need to let go. Lord, where to open ourselves up. So, Lord, I pray my prayer is twofold today. One, reveal to us. And then two, teach us. Show us how, Lord. And as we do, Lord, that You will bring back to life something we thought was lost and gone. Lord, we love You and we thank You. In the name of Christ, all the people say, amen. Amen. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, as we... Lord, just join with You in what You're doing in our lives. Lord, we just pray that it would come to life, that we would see it. Lord, that we would embrace it. And Lord, that we would live it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to, if you already know what's happening, if you're a part of the worship team or parents, if you were told, we're going to move seniors to right now. And because Joel made it over here earlier than I thought he would. And so, Joel, come on up, and all the seniors and your families, come on up. I saw some of you already sweating because you're having to get on the stage. It's fine. You're fine.
This is just a practice for when you have to walk the stage in a couple weeks. So, Senior Sunday is one of my favorite Sundays. It is a Sunday that we dedicate to the third part of one of our three things in our St. Luke's motto, in our mission statement. And that's reach, grow, and send. And it is a Sunday where we dedicate to sending forth students that we have loved, that we have taught, that we have laughed with, that we have cried with, as missionaries into a new world, into a new environment. And that is really terrifying when you phrase it like that, I know. But that is what we're expecting of them. We're expecting them to go into this new environment, to go, whether it's a couple miles down the road to Texas Tech or to South Plains or LCU, or it's a couple states away in Arkansas. And we're expecting them to know and follow the things that we've taught them, right? And that's terrifying. I'm sure it's terrifying for y'all. Having been a senior, I know it was terrifying for my mom. And I stayed in Lubbock. And so I just am really proud of all of y'all, all the seniors. I'm also really proud of your families. They're doing the hard part just as much as y'all are. I know that y'all are excited for this next step. I know that you're scared for this next step. I'm sure your parents are excited for this next step, and they're scared for this next step. And so I'm just really proud of y'all, and I just hope you know that. And I'm really grateful to have been part of your St. Luke's family and continuing to be part of your St. Luke's family as you go and do great things. So y'all pray with me, please. Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for these students, that these students are part of your family. These students are part of our family. And these students are going to go do great things for you. I pray that you're with them as they do these things, as they go out, as they explore new cultures, as they explore new places, as they see the world, Lord. and that they see it as you see it. I pray for the families. I pray for peace. I pray for understanding when they come home for Thanksgiving and Christmas, for the summer. I pray that you're with these students as they go out, that you reveal yourself to them in ways that they know you, in ways that is comfortable for them. But I also pray that you reveal yourself to ways that's uncomfortable to them, that's new to them, that they may not even know to look for you in, Lord. I just pray that you show yourself and you grow these students into the people that they need to be for your kingdom. I pray for your wisdom over these students as they make the decisions that they need to make. I pray for your discernment for these students as they make the decisions they need to make. I pray you encourage these students to go to class or the responsibilities that they need to take care of, Lord. And I just know you're going to be with them. I just pray that these students look to you in their time of struggle, but also in their time of excitement and their time of happiness and joy, that they're yours. And they continue to be yours, Lord, because we love them and we know that you love them so much. So please keep them safe as they leave this place. Keep them safe as your missionaries. Keep them safe as your children. Keep them safe as your disciples, Lord. It's all in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, here's my 2 cents worth. Are y'all scared? You should be.
I'm multitasking.
No, you can take all the pictures you want. Just so you're going to get to go to a lot of things and see a lot of people and have a lot of new experiences. And some of those are going to be really positive, and some of those are going to be not so positive, and some of those are going to be fun, and some of those are not going to be fun. But yet, in the midst of it all, just remember who you are and whose you are, right? And so you're going to get lots of books. Well, I keep saying that, but I found out y'all don't really get books anymore. You get iPads and computers and everything.
Yeah, it's more like a digital code.
Yeah. It's just absolutely worthless.
Still the same price.
Yeah. They still charge you the exact same amount of money. Sorry, parents. It cost you just the same. But this book is the one that I want you to remember, right? And so you're going to sell those textbooks back, or you're going to get a refund or whatever it is on the digital code. But when you're experiencing all those other things, here's the one that you trust in, okay? Because you're going to hear a lot of things that are not the truth anymore. What Joel's been telling you and what Hope's been telling you and what, if you've been here long enough, Charlie told you or I've told you or whatever, all that's truth, right? But you're going to hear things that aren't the truth. And here's where you decide if it's truth or not, right? And then you call home to the smartest people on the planet, even though you think they're the dumbest, your mom and your dad, okay? You call them, right? And you ask them. So just remember that this is where you decide what truth is, all right? And so Joel's already prayed for you. I'm not going to pray for you again. Hey, would you give them a round for just being consistent and achieving what they've done? And then now, as a parent, more than that, would you congratulate the parents for surviving?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So after worship last week, when we were talking about how to, what's next and how to live and dreams and visions, someone came up to me, which I'm so glad for because I like to hear the realities of life and what you're going through and what's happening, even though I sort of already know, but it's nice to hear it. Even though it wasn't it was a positive conversation, but it was a hard conversation for them, is to come back and say, I heard what you said about dreams and visions, but because of the hurt in my life, or what someone might call the heartache in their life, or the loss in your life, it's hard for me to dream and to have those to have that outlook on life that you're talking about. I get that. And so today I want to go to God's word for the response to the reality of what we feel at times and what that means for us, and to find out together if those dreams and visions or relationships can actually live again. And so we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 37 verses 1 through 4 today and go from there. I'm going to try to restart here and come back. Oh, and I just saw it as I closed it out. And hold on, sorry. There we go. I'm going to leave this up while I read, and you can get the sermon notes if you would like. And so out of Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14, says this. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many of them on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Again, he said to me, 'Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you,'" which is tendons, "'and make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling came, and the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, the tendons were on them, and the flesh grew, and the skin covered them. There was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to breathe, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds.'" That's the full measure and power of heaven, by the way. "'O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves. My people and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come out of those graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord." So, there's a lot going on there, and we're just going to touch a really small part of it. But the first thing I want to point out is this idea of what happened to them and how it happened to them. And so I just want to look back at verse 5 and look at that, because it's so important as you see that, that it says, right, you go back to verse 5, "Behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. I will put tendons on you make the flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you." Now, y'all know I love the word breath in the Hebrew because it's that great word, ruach. And that what word means not just breath, but it means not just wind. It also means spirit, capital S, right? When it talks about the ruach of Elohim, the ruach of God, it's the capital S. It's his spirit that is being put into them. So sometimes for us, the connection I want to make today, sometimes the things of life weigh us down to the point where we don't feel like we can really take another breath, where we have to make a real effort to do anything. We have to make an effort to breathe. We have to make an effort to move forward. We have to make an effort to be productive. Sometimes we might just have to make the effort to get out of bed. And I know some of us have been in that place, and it's not, some of it is depression, and some of it is anxiety, some of it is just being overwhelmed and all of those things. And so what it does, though, is the weight of dead dreams, the weight of lost vision causes us not to want to worship. And I don't mean come to church worship even, I just mean live our life for God, what Ashley was telling the kids about. In everything that we do, because our life is supposed to worship God. It's supposed to worship the Lord. Love the Lord with all your heart and all your might, all your soul, all your strength, all. And so it really does weigh us down. And to make my point about how it weighs us down, I know some of us have felt this way, and I just want to illustrate it, maybe if you've never felt this way, but someplace in life, you probably are going to feel this way, right? And so you can write on these whatever you want. I mean, these are just plain old cinder blocks, and as I get ready to do this illustration, they're heavier than I remembered them being. But you can write anxiety on here. You can write depression on here. You can write relationships on here. You can write jobs, stress, money, all the things we have, right? But really, when you get down to it and you have these and you're laying these down on you, right? doesn't feel like a lot at first. But you do have to make a little more effort to try to breathe, right? And then, but the more you get and the more you have, right? Right? The more you have, the harder it gets. And you can do this for a little while, especially if you're Matt Wolfington. Not because I'm strong, not because of any of that, because I'm pretty sure I can do anything on my own for any amount of time. Hey, Jackson, come here. Sometimes, though, it's also a relationship. Sometimes it's people. Sometimes it's more than just the stuff going on. You ready? Be gentle. Yeah, then it gets a little... It gets a little harder, right? Is that all of it? Pick your feet up. Holy moly. Yeah, that's really hard. Get off quick. Get off quick. How many of you have felt that way? Come on now. Right. I mean, we feel that way. And I know that was funny about Dallas. But sometimes, I mean, we think about those things and we think about what is weighing us down. And sometimes it does feel like more and more and more. And we can't take any more and we can't take any more and we can't take any more. And then when the weight comes off, you take this big, deep breath, and it still doesn't feel like enough. You have to do it again, and you got to do it again, and you have to recover from that. But the overwhelming weight that we need to see is not weight that we need to deal with ourselves. It's the weight that what we're talking about right here is what Ezekiel was feeling when it talks about those dry bones, those dead souls, those dead bodies, those dead dreams and visions that the children of God had about being who God had called them to be. And they just didn't get there overnight, by the way. It was one thing after another, after another, after another, after another. And those built up on them over time. And it's not to diminish whatever weight you have on you, because as I always say, what's heavy to me may be super light to you, right? And what's super light to me may be just super heavy for you. And so we need to empathize with each other of whatever we're going through and to help each other, because had that gotten heavy enough, I'm pretty sure that, I mean, even in that moment, I wouldn't have been able to lift Jackson off by myself, right? I would need help doing that, and that's what the body of Christ is for. Another sermon for another day. But Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says this. It says, therefore, since we also have such a great cloud of witness surrounding us, let us rid ourselves of every obstacle. Another word for that is every encumbrance, every stumbling block, everything that's in front of us, every obstacle, and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking only at Jesus, the originator, the author and perfecter of faith, of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. See, I want to go back to that every encumbrance, every obstacle, and then it said, what was the other thing? And sin. See, he classified those in two different ways. Sometimes we think sin is the obstacle, and it can be, but here's what I want to do. And this is not theologically 100% sound in the exact way that he's talking about it, but it does differentiate it for us. I think of the sins of the things that I could control, and then I'm thinking about the obstacles right now and the things that I can't control, right? Some of the obstacles I do put in my own way, and most usually those are sinful things, and I have control over whether I do those or not, or whether I engage in those. But sometimes life throws obstacles in our way, encumbrances in our way that weigh us down that we didn't have any control over. And so what do we do with those? See, what we need to do is what Scripture just said right there, is coming back here, looking only at Jesus, right? Focusing on Him. And I know that sounds so Sunday schoolish, doesn't it? Sounds like what we tell our kids. It sounds like, no offense to Ashley, and I don't even mean to be funny, but it sounds like a children's sermon. Right? I mean, it sounds like something so elementary and so easy, but how many of you have been in a place where you can't even breathe and somebody says, oh, you just need Jesus, right? And then I punch them in the face when they say that. Anybody with me? Right? Yeah, I mean, I know I just need Jesus, but I need help with this that's on my chest right now. I need help with these health issues. I need help with this divorce. I need help with these children. I need help with my spouse. I need help with my in-laws. I need help with my job. I need help with money. Can we just go on and on? I need help with disappointment. I need help with bad grades. I need help with, keep on. Right? I mean, we need that. And so to lay it aside means to be careful and take directed effort to move it, right? To keep our eyes on the Lord, keep our eyes on Jesus, but moving that so we have breath. And that word for breath, again, that ruach, really was God saying, I want to put life in you. I want to help move that away from you, right? What do we... I was just thinking about when you put breath into someone, like if you're doing CPR, you literally expand their lungs with your breath, right? Just think about you're giving them life. If you have angioplasty and they put a balloon into your artery and they expand your artery by putting air into it. Right, by putting air in that little balloon to expand your artery, to move the plaque out of the way and all the things, it really is to expand and to allow the flow of life. See, that's what God is talking about. And when he's talking to Ezekiel and he says, he didn't call him by name right here, but he's the first person, but he says, Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? And Ezekiel didn't look at the dead dry bones and say, hey, can y'all get up? He didn't look to his friends and say, hey, can you believe what they've gotten themselves into? Do you think they can get up? He didn't go to all the self-help. He didn't call anybody else. He looked straight to the Lord and he said, Lord, only you know, right? Only you know. He said, son of man, can these bones live? And I want to hear it. In the Hebrew, there's inflections. And I can give you all that stuff. But I really want it to be where Ezekiel answered him back. He says, oh, Lord God, you know. That sounds so, again, Sunday schoolish or whatever. But I want to look at it. I mean, like he's got an attitude. Like he's got confidence. He's got swagger. He's looking at the Lord and he goes, oh, God, you know. Right? You know. I mean, and he's not challenging God. He's encouraging God in his faith and confidence, and he's saying that in the face of death. He's saying that in the face of what has weighed them down. He's saying that, like, you better look out. Right? Hear those dry bones rattling? You just sang it, right? And he's saying that with God in that confidence. You know, God. You know. Let's get this thing going. You know. And so in Genesis 1-2, it really was describing the actual created earth and everything. But I look at a few things in my life, over my life, and I think it sounds just like this, and maybe you can relate to it also. The earth was formless and void. Anybody feel like you were formless and void of something? The darkness was over the surface of the deep. Anybody feel like your beautiful, vibrant life had some darkness in it, and you just couldn't see any light, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water, and you're like, I know you're there, but I don't feel it. I don't get it. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why I'm having to go through this, but it is. And then Genesis 2:7, it says this is, then the Lord God formed man out of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath, the ruach of life, and man became a living being. See, this is where we have to understand that nothing lives nothing lives. Your dreams don't live. Your visions don't live. Your five-year plan doesn't live. Your marriage doesn't live. Your relationships don't live. Nothing lives without the breath of God. Nothing. And somehow we think we can make it all work. I'm the president of this club. That I think I can make it all work just on my own. If I just try hard enough, and if I just organize everything well enough, if I just do the things I think I'm supposed to do. But understand, it's the power of the transfer of the sovereignty of the life of God Himself that brings life to anything that we put our hand to. It's the sovereignty of God. It's His power. Even the Apostle Paul understood it this way. This is the Apostle Paul. He hated Jesus at first. And he understood it after he had that life-giving transfer, after the Ruach of God entered him, the Holy Spirit entered him and transformed his life. In Acts 17, 25, he says this. I'm going to go back to 24 just quickly. Let me see. I think I've got it here. Yeah, right here. Okay, hold on. The God who made the world and all things in it, this is Paul talking, since He is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. Seniors, I don't know where you are in the room, but seniors, listen to me. You can't do anything on your own. You're smart. I saw some of your graduation pictures. Some of y'all have garb on that they wouldn't even let me get in the same room with when it comes to honors and tassels and all that kind of stuff, right? And I remember in high school, somebody walked out with one of those. And I said, oh man, I didn't get one of those. Yeah. And then my principal went, right? Y'all have some genius. You have some academic book smarts, right? Don't let that become an encumbrance. Don't let that become a stumbling block. Don't let that become something that gets in your way to know who God is, to know who Jesus is in your life. Parents, adults, couples, dating folks, engaged folks, singles, kids, teenagers, little kids, everybody. Don't let anything get in the way of God, because He's the one that gives you the life. He gives life and breath to all things. So it should be no surprise to us that Satan uses all of the things in life to try to get in our way, because he wants to weigh us down. He can't take our breath from us, but if he allows us to be piled upon with enough stuff, then we can't breathe. We can't worship. We can't move forward. We can't have our dry bones live. The dreams and visions, because the dreams and visions God has for you, Satan knows will glorify God. The life that God wants for you, that desires for you, Satan knows will glorify God. Satan knows that if he can just keep you ho-hum, then your life will not glorify God, because you won't live into the fullness of who God's called you to be. He doesn't have to attack you. He doesn't have to make you necessarily miserable, even though some of us end up doing that. But if he can just keep us in that ho-hum place, then we won't be to where God wants us to be, and our dry bones will never live, and we will never become that great army that Ezekiel saw. Satan can't steal you away from God, but he can sure weigh you down. And let me tell you just quickly the two ways that I think it affects me the most. There are a lot of ways. I'm just going to give you my two. I think that hard, hurtful circumstances make me turn my eyes away from Jesus. Right? When things go on in your life and you're not happy about what's happening, or it doesn't work out the way you want it to, whatever saying you want to use, whatever it is, and it can be everything. A whole host of things. Those are the things that allow us to think that we don't need Jesus. And I said it last week, Jesus is the first person that's the easiest to blame for everything before he's the first person that we ever give credit for everything. Is we like to blame him because he's an easy target. And so when things happen, we turn our eyes from him. Seeing people in the hospital and their families are distraught and they're asking why and they're turning their eyes away from the goodness of God. When we go through circumstances in life and we can't figure out why this would happen to us, we turn our eyes away from God. When all of these things come at us, it turns our eyes away from God. And here's what I want you to hear. How did these dry bones stand up in the first place? How did they get up? How did tendons and skin and all the things form back on them? Only because God wanted them to. He didn't want them to be dead in the first place. God never, if you've ever said, right, and we've all probably said it at some point, even your pastor, why, God, are you doing this to me? Right? God's like, I'm not doing that to you. I don't want that for you. I don't have that in store for you. I want better. I want life. I want abundant life, Jesus says. I want more than that. I'm not doing that to you. But yet, when it happens, we need to hear that Jesus wants to put that breath into you. Just like I said about communion, when you feel that, you're like, man, this is good grape juice. Did you get that at HEB, United, Walmart? You know, where'd you get that? No, when you feel that, it's a different understanding to say, oh, Lord, this is good. This is refreshing. See, the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit is to not give you more information about Jesus. God wasn't talking to Ezekiel and telling him to prophesy over the dead things in the world, over the dead things of the kingdom of God, no less. He wasn't telling him that just to give him more information, right? Ezekiel didn't need to know any more about God. He knew God. He didn't need to know any more. What he needed to know was who God really is, the true character of God. And think about it this way. If you've had kids, think about when they were a baby, right, and they're learning to walk. And even if you're a grandparent or a sibling or whatever, I mean, when a baby starts coming at you when they're learning to walk, I mean, you don't hand them your resume and give them the qualifications of why it's okay for them to come to you, right? They don't need to know what you're. They don't need to know what you can bench press or curl to be able to grab them when they come at you, right? They don't need to know how fast you can move. They don't need to know what your IQ is. They don't need to know what you're capable of. Why do they come to you? Because somehow inside of them they know you, right? My little, my great niece, I have to think about that for a minute, Avery, walking in the door this morning, she knows me, right? I don't see her all the time. She does know this is Matt's house, though. Isn't that hilarious? Going to Matt's house? Right? And so when she came in this morning, I was so glad to see her. And I'm like, oh, Avery, come here. Let me hold you. Oh, no, 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 no. She went straight to Mama and grabbed her arm and go, Mama, hold you. Right? I mean, and she knows me. But then when I grabbed her and held her, she was kind of okay with that. Right? Because she does know me. She doesn't need to know my qualifications. She doesn't need to know if I'm a good pastor. She doesn't need to know if I'm whatever. She just knows that I'm someone that she can trust and someone that she's learning to love. See, that's what this is talking about right here. God just wants you to know that He has your best, right? He has your best in store in His own heart for you. You don't need more information to trust. You just need more power. You just need more breath. You just need more understanding. You need to see it in your life. So, hear me say this. Here's where I think the second thing is, and this one's harder because a lot of people are going to disagree with this. I think that part of the problem is my distractions are one thing, but I also think that sometimes I have feelings over my faith. Amen? Because I don't feel it. I don't feel it. And so, and I'm not saying feelings are bad. Let me just get that out of the way. Feelings are a legitimate thing. Emotions are what God gave us. He gave us those things for a reason. If there's a lion, tiger, or a bear running at you, if you're not scared, you have another thing going on inside you, and it's called stupid. right? I mean, you need to be. I mean, there's a healthy thing about fear, and there's a healthy thing about sadness. Right? There's a healthy thing about learning to deal with the stress in your life. I mean, stress can be healthy as a motivator, not as something that weighs you down and overwhelms you, right? All those things are what God has given us, but being sad and being overwhelmed, feeling lonely and feeling fearful, those are emotions that we can have, but those are not the emotions that should drive us. When you feel overwhelmed, when you feel sad, when you feel lonely, when you feel angry, when you feel fearful, that's not what should be driving you. The Holy Spirit should be driving you, so it should be your faith over your feelings. Because I don't want to get up and know things are going on in my life and say, okay, that I'm going to hand the wheel of my direction over to my emotions and my feeling, and that drives my day. Seniors, high school kids, now back to adults, hear that. Because the world right now, I don't know how or when this happened, but it has. That's what should drive your life. That's why I said the Bible is the one that we go back to check what the truth is, where our feelings should be, where our emotions should be, to keep those in check, to allow the Holy Spirit to drive us. Because when we let faith drive us, right, and your emotions are driving you, I mean, when you're sad and you let your emotions drive you, okay, your emotions are going to take you to Sad Town, right? And when you get to Sad Town, sad's going to park you in downtown and going to get out and is going to put you in the sad park and is going to get you out a sad picnic and is going to feed you more sadness. Amen? It's just a circle. Fear, loneliness, being overwhelmed. I mean, all the things, regret, bitterness. Oh my gosh, anybody ever been to Bittertown? I think I've seen a few of you there. Right? I mean, we've been there. But let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit's driving you, now I'm going to get excited, because when the Holy Spirit's driving you and emotions are taking you to Sad Town or to Fearful Town or to whatever town that is not where God wants you to be, when you say, oh Lord God, I know you are, right? I know you live. I know you are in me. Oh Lord, can these bones live? Yes, I know they can live. And you let the Holy Spirit take over, the Holy Spirit takes you off of the Sad Town route and takes an exit, and he turns your sadness into joy, right? He takes you to Joy Town. And when you get to Joy Town, life is different. Psalm 30, 11, I will turn mourning into dancing. Isaiah 61, 3, I give beauty for ashes, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. See, Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith, not Satan. Right? Not emotions, not feelings, and I've got them. I know that's a surprise to some of y'all. I do have feelings, and I can be emotional, right? But I try not to. I've not done a good job this week, but I try not to let those drive my life. Here's what I really, my best analogy for this, and I'm overdoing this, but my best analogy for this, anybody ever seen a sailboat? A few of us. Anybody ever been on a sailboat? Yeah, so one direction of wind. If the wind is blowing, we're going to go north, right? If the wind is blowing north, a sailboat can go any direction that it wants to go. And I'm just like, how does that work? I mean, the wind is going, it's going that way, right? I mean, what little hair I have can tell me which way the wind's blowing, and that's the direction it goes. How does the sailboat go the other way? It's all how you set the sail. See, all this is saying, you can either set your sail by your feelings and your emotions and what the world's telling you is the truth, or you can set your sail by the way of the Holy Spirit and the truth of God, and you'll go a different direction. Matter of fact, if you set your sail in an east-going wind, you can go west. If the wind is blowing north, you can go south. It's amazing. It's all how that sail is trimmed and changed. That's all this is saying. It's so elementary, but dang it, it's hard, isn't it? It is so hard. And I don't know about all of y'all, but I need a miracle. And so the Ruach of God, the breath of God can be on you, right? The breath of God can be on me. So what I want to proclaim today for all of us, it's just the breath of God, breathe on me. breathe, not just on me, but in me. I don't know about you, but I need some Holy Spirit CPR. How about you? Well, I wish I had y'all's life. If you don't need this, if everything's great and good, perfect, there's going to be a day you're going to need Holy Spirit CPR. Seniors, not to be a drag, but there is a roaring lion prowling around out there called Satan, and he wants to devour your dreams. Adults, he wants to devour your vision for what God has given you. Parents, spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends, engaged couples, nothing better than for Satan to be able to weigh you down and devour everything that God has in store for you. And so you have to stay on alert. You have to stay ready. You have to have that breath inside of you that expands your lungs, that you can praise God and drive that stuff away. Drive that stuff away. Let him... I don't even like saying it. I'm embarrassed to say it. I don't even want to say it, but I'm going to say it. Jesus, take the wheel, right? Just drive me the way I need to go. Show me the way. Show me the way. Can these bones live? I think you need to ask the Lord, because I also know this. There's some things that don't need to live in my life, and probably yours too. Talked to a friend this weekend, and he said things that I have said to myself and have said to other people, and you have some of these people in your life. It's like, yeah, I just don't need to be around them anymore. I'm like, oh, I get it. Some of those things need to die and go away, right? Some of those relationships, some of those feelings, some of those places in our life. But for the rest of it, Lord, breath of God, breathe on me. Lord, the Ruach of your Spirit, let it reside in us, capital S, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord God. Lord, I pray over each and every person here today that you would, Father, that you would fill them. Church, I'm going to give you a chance to come forward. You can come pray with your kids. You can pray with your spouse. You can pray over your seniors. I believe that this is not a church. You know me. You know that I don't do pastoral guilt. I never do. I don't believe in that. I think it's manipulative and emotional, and I don't do that. But I believe every one of us needs this. Today, I truly believe every one of us needs to be on our knees praying to God that the Ruach of God would fill our lives for what's next. For what's next? And so I've even asked the praise team not to come back up. You're going to hear a recording, and so they can participate if they want to. I hope that we fill this. I hope you're on your knees and your chairs with your family. I believe in this strongly, and I believe it will change the course of what's next in your life. So, Lord God, as we hear this song, Lord, as we worship you, I pray that we would worship with our lives today. Or that we would call upon your breath to fill us. Because I know I'm not strong enough. Let it be so. Church, just take your time. Take your time, just a moment. Lord, I'm counting on you to do great things. Father, I know because your breath is life, and Lord, and our life is yours. And so, Lord, I just pray that it would be so in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all the people said, Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go knowing that the stone's been rolled away and the prison doors are open in your life. It's your job to run out and tell the world why. And all the people said, Amen. Y'all have a great week. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.